Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to take that stack of sources you've got and really pull out the most important nuggets of knowledge. Today, we're diving deep into, well, a daily chronicle of AI innovations and insights. It's all from one single day, August 12th, 2025. And our mission for you is to cut through all the noise out there, give you some clarity on the latest developments, and help you understand not just what happened, but, you know, why it actually matters.
Exactly. And it's fascinating because just this one snapshot, this single day, it really gives you a feel for the pulse of AI right now. You see everything from these groundbreaking new capabilities to how the market's shifting, and also these really critical talks about limitations and, well, the impact on society. Looking at all this rapid movement, what stands out to you as maybe a key theme for where things are heading just based on today's news?
That's a really good question.
Yeah.
Let's maybe start by unpacking some of those groundbreaking AI capabilities, how they're starting to show up in the real world. Okay, first up, NVIDIA. They just released Cosmos Reason. It's a 7 billion parameter vision language model.
7 billion, okay.
Yeah, and for you, think of this like giving robots a really sophisticated mind's eye. It doesn't just see, it understands. It can predict physical events using common sense.
Right, common sense reasoning in the physical world. That's a big hurdle.
Huge. So this model lets robots look at visual data, make decisions based on, common sense, and figure out complex interactions.
Mm.
Like, it understands the steps needed to make toast.
Making toast, which sounds simple, but for a machine.
Exactly. Anyone who's tried to teach a kid knows it's surprisingly complex. So this builds right on NVIDIA's whole world foundation model ecosystem and their push into physical AI.
Mm.
The idea is to help robots, AI agents, really think through spatial problems, predict things like, someone's stepping into a crosswalk or maybe a box falling off a shelf.
There's anticipation, not just reaction.
Precisely. Now, The software itself is open source. You can download it, but you do need specific NVIDIA hardware. They're Jetson Thor DGX or Blackwell GPUs.
Ah, okay. So there's a hardware requirement.
Definitely. But companies are already jumping on it. 1X, Skilled AI.
Yep.
They're already testing these Cosmos models.
Interesting. That ability to predict the physical world, that's a massive step. And kind of building on that theme of deeper understanding, there's another really compelling development from Meta's FAIR team.
Oh, Meta. What have they got?
They introduced Tribe. It's a 1 billion parameter neural network.
Smaller, but sounds specialized.
Very. And it's not just, another big model. This one actually won first place in the Algonauts 2025 brain modeling competition.
Wow, okay.
By predicting how human brains respond to movies, it analyzed video, audio, and text.
So it's watching movies and predicting brain scans.
Essentially, yeah. Imagine that. It accurately predicted over half of brain activity patterns across 1,000 different brain regions.
1,000 regions. That's incredible detail.
It is. And it was trained on subjects who watched, 80 hours of TV and movies.
Okay. So lots of data.
Right. And it works best in those brain areas where sight, sound, and language kind of merge together. It actually outperforms single sense models by about 30%.
That makes sense, combining the inputs.
Exactly. And it showed particular accuracy in the frontal brain regions, the ones controlling attention, decision-making, emotional responses.
Hmm.
Now, this is fascinating because it pushes our understanding of the brain, obviously. But it also brings up this important question, right, about the potential for systems like this to maybe maximize neural attention. Could it make things like doom scrolling even harder for us to resist?
That's a slightly worrying thought, yeah.
Yeah.
Maximizing attention.
Hmm.
And speaking of leaps, this next story about OpenAI really grabbed me.
Okay.
Their reasoning model. It achieved a gold level score at the 2025 International Olympiad in Informatics, the IOI.
The programming competition. Wow. Gold level.
Yeah. Placed sixth against humans, but first among all the AI systems there. It's the top pre-college programming competition globally.
And it was competing under the same rules as the humans. Time limits, submissions.
Exactly the same constraints. And what's really remarkable, I think, is that it was a general purpose reasoner.
Not fine-tuned just for coding problems?
Nope. Not specifically fine-tuned for programming.
Yeah.
Relied only on basic tools. And it scored in the 98th percentile.
98th. That's huge. What was it before?
Just a year ago, it scored 49%.
Whoa. That's more than double the score in a year.
A massive jump, yeah. Shows how fast the reasoning capabilities have moved. And it wasn't just programming. The same model also got gold at the International Math Olympiad and at Coder.
So math, programming, strong across different complex problem types.
Right. This 2x leap in score is really something. It feels like the days where humans are consistently ahead of AI in these competitions, well, they seem numbered. So you have to ask, right, what does this huge advance in reasoning mean for future models? Models may be capable of discovering, new science, new math, new physics.
That kind of general reasoning, it really is transformative. It's the holy grail, in a way. And if you zoom out a bit, this kind of innovation, it's not isolated. It points to this acceleration in areas like, well, drug discovery. That seems to be one of the biggest beneficiaries of AI right now.
Ah, yes. The KAIST research.
Exactly. Researchers at the Korea Advanced Institute of Science and Technology, KAIST, they developed BIND. It's a new diffusion model.
Okay, diffusion model, like image generation, but for molecules.
Sort of, yeah. Think of it like an AI that doesn't just pick from existing drug ingredients. It literally, like, draws or generates a completely new optimal molecule from scratch.
From scratch?
Yeah. And the innovation here is that it designs both the drug molecule itself and how it's going to attach to the diseased proteins all in one go. No prior molecular data needed, no training example.
Wow. So it's structure and function together.
Precisely. And BIND created drugs that specifically target only the cancer-causing protein mutations, leaving the healthy versions alone. That's real precision medicine.
That's the dream, isn't it? Targeted therapy with fewer side effects.
Absolutely. And unlike older AI systems, BD also makes sure the drugs are, safe, stable, and actually manufacturable all at the same time.
Manufacturability is key. A great molecule isn't useful if you can't make it.
Right. Plus, it learns from its successes. It uses this recycling technique to design better drugs without having to start over every time.
Smart. So, connecting this to the bigger picture.
Well, drug discovery is clearly accelerating because of AI. The very first AI-designed drugs are just starting to hit the market now, but it really feels like we're maybe just a few steps away from the floodgates opening. Humanity-altering medical advances designed by these kinds of AI models.
The floodgates opening.
Yeah.
That's a powerful image. And speaking of efficiency, not just in drug design, but in AI training itself. Mm-hmm. Google made a big stride here.
Oh, yeah. What's that?
Their active learning approach. They've managed to fine-tune large language models using fewer than 500 high-fidelity labels.
500. That's it, compared to what usually.
It's a reduction of over 100 times in the training data needed.
100 times less data. Wow.
And at the same time, they improved alignment with human experts by up to 65%.
So less data, better results.
Okay. Seems like it.
Yeah.
This is a huge leap in cost and data efficiency. It's not just saving money, right? Think about what this means. This massive reduction in training data could, fundamentally democratize LLM development.
Right. Opens the door for smaller players.
Exactly. What kind of innovative, maybe niche AI applications could become feasible now? Things that were just out of reach before for smaller teams or specialized fields.
That's a great point. It really could lower the barrier to entry for tailored AI solutions. And, these aren't the only rapid advancements we saw on this single day. There's a whole bunch of other things happening.
Like what?
Well, the Chinese AI lab, ZAI, they released GLM 4.5V. It's a new open source visual reasoning model, and it's hitting top scores on over 40 different benchmarks.
40 benchmarks. Okay, strong contender.
And Pika Labs introduced a new video model rolling out to its social app. HD quality video, lip sync, audio, all generated in 6 seconds or less.
6 seconds. The speed is getting crazy.
It really is. And Alibaba announced their Qwen 3 models got upgraded. Ultra-long context capabilities, up to 1 million tokens.
Million tokens. The memory just keeps expanding.
Yeah, so it really shows that innovation isn't just happening with the, the huge headline models. It's across the entire AI stack. Things are moving fast everywhere.
Okay, so beyond these, let's call them technical breakthroughs, the AI landscape is also, it's buzzing with intense competition and some pretty big corporate shifts.
Definitely. The business side is just as dynamic.
Let's talk Elon Musk and XAI. They're actually threatening to sue Apple over App Store rankings.
Ah, yes, the antitrust angle.
Right. Musk claims Apple is manipulating the rankings to exclusively favor OpenAI. He's pointing to that big WWDC deal where they integrated ChatGPT into iOS as the reason it's getting such prominent placement.
So he's saying Apple's playing favorites.
Specifically, yeah. He's asking why his apps, X and Grok AI, aren't in Apple's must-have apps section, where OpenAI's chatbot is currently the only AI app featured. So the question is, how much of this is a genuine legal fight over antitrust, and how much is it maybe a strategic PR move for xAI, especially after that Apple OpenAI partnership was announced.
That's always the question with moves like this, isn't it? But it certainly throws a spotlight on that balance of power between the platform owners, like Apple, and the app developers in this, well, this booming AI ecosystem. And it raises real questions about fair competition.
Yeah, definitely implications there.
And in other big corporate news, GitHub's CEO, Thomas Domke, he's stepping down to become a startup founder.
Oh, interesting. What does that mean for GitHub?
Well, GitHub's been operating kind of separately since Microsoft bought them back in 2018, but now it's going to be run as a full part of Microsoft.
Fully integrated.
Yeah. Its leadership will report into Microsoft's new Cori AI organization. This is a new engineering group led by Jay Parikh, focused on building an AI platform and tools for Microsoft and its customers. And it now includes the DevDiff team, which is huge in the developer world.
Okay, so Microsoft is consolidating its AI efforts, bringing GitHub deeper into the fold. Makes sense strategically. All right, let's circle back to xAI for a second. They made another big move right after OpenAI launched GPT-5.
Ah, the free Grok 4 access.
Exactly. Elon Musk's xAI made Grok 4 freely accessible globally for a limited time. Seems like a pretty tactical move, timing-wise.
Definitely counter-programming. So how does the free access work?
Well, free users can get Grok 4 through what they call auto mode that routes complex questions to the advanced model. Or you can use expert mode for direct access to its full capabilities.
But not the absolute top-tier model.
Right. The most powerful version, Grok 4 Heavy, that's still exclusive to the Super Grok Heavy subscribers.
Yeah.
Costs $300 a month.
Okay. And the free usage, are there limits?
They're calling it generous usage limits for this limited time. The exact quotas aren't totally clear. Some reports suggest maybe 5 queries every 12 hours. Others maybe more generous temporary allowances.
Gotcha. So try before you potentially buy.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
You do have to sign in, though. If you stay logged out, you only get the older, faster Grok 3.
Okay.
And this expansion also included free access to Grok Imagine, their image-to-video tool. But that's only for U.S. users for now.
Right. So stepping back, when a company like xAI does this, offers a powerful model like Grok 4 for free, even temporarily, what kind of ripples does that send through the whole competitive landscape for LLMs? It's a bold move, no doubt. It puts pressure on others, potentially attracts users who might otherwise stick with competitors like OpenAI or Google. It's about getting eyeballs and usage data, but it also comes with risks, especially when you're comparing yourself directly to the top models.
Risks like?
Well, like what happened next? In a hype war where perception is basically your product, this Grok 4 chess match was, let's just say, striking.
Oh, the Kaggle AI chess showdown. Yeah, tell us about that.
Grok 4 played OpenAI's O3,
right,
live streamed on Google Kaggle, and it lost badly. 4-0.
Ouch.
4-0. And to make it worse, 5-time world chess champion Magnus Carlsen was there, live on mic. He was literally laughing, face-palming.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he likened Grok's blunders to kids' games.
That's not the kind of review you want from Magnus Carlsen.
Not at all. Sometimes, even these brilliant AIs, they need to learn to tie their shoelaces before they try to run marathons, especially in public like that. From a marketing perspective, Grok 4 just took a massive branding hit. It's going to be really hard to spin that positively. And it basically handed OpenAI this perfect highlight reel showing dominance.
Yeah, perception is product in this space. That's a tough PR day for xAI. Okay, shifting from corporate battles to geopolitical ones. This involves China, NVIDIA, and AMD.
Right, the semiconductor tensions continue.
Chinese authorities are apparently discouraging their local companies from using NVIDIA's H20 chips and also AMD's MI308 accelerators. These are the chips designed specifically to comply with U.S. export rules.
Discouraging them how?
They're demanding companies justify why they need these chips over domestic alternatives. And they're raising questions about potential hardware security issues.
Security issues? Like what?
Specifically, things like location tracking and remote shutdown capabilities potentially built into the hardware. Now, NVIDIA has strongly denied this, but the concern is being voiced.
That adds a layer of distrust. And it fits the broader pattern, right?
Exactly. It's part of that wider state-led effort in China to build up their own homegrown semiconductor capabilities and cut reliance on Western tech.
The push for self-sufficiency.
But here's where it gets even more interesting and maybe complex. There are also reports that the U.S. government might be about to enter a new agreement with NVIDIA and AMD.
An agreement about what?
That would potentially give the U.S. government a 15% cut of chip sales to China.
Wait, a cut of the sales? How would that work?
Details are scarce, But if true, it adds another really complicated layer to these already tense geopolitical and trade dynamics around advanced chips.
Wow. Okay, yeah, that's definitely a space to watch closely. So much happening just on the hardware front.
For sure. Okay, so we've covered breakthroughs, market dynamics. But it's not all just progress and competition, is it? There are also these really crucial discussions happening about AI's limitations, the ethical side, and its actual impact on society.
Absolutely. The what does it all mean part, which is critical.
Right. So Palantir's CEO, Alex Karp, he had a warning. He said, while the U.S. leads in AI right now, it might be entering a danger zone if there isn't aggressive investment.
A danger zone of falling behind, presumably.
Seems like it. But interestingly, his proposed solution isn't just more top-level AI. He plans to bring superpowers, AI empowerment, directly to blue-collar workers, trying to align the tech with workforce inclusivity.
That's a different angle. Empowering the existing workforce with AI, not just focusing on displacement or high-end research. Interesting vision.
It is. And speaking of visions versus reality, Bill Gates, remember he was pretty skeptical about GPT-5?
Yeah, he questioned if it would offer much more than just modest improvements over GPT-4. He wasn't expecting a huge leap.
Well, his prediction seems to be kind of validated, at least based on initial user reports.
Mm-hmm.
People are seeing incremental improvements, yeah, but also lingering bugs, not really revolutionary performance.
Mm. So Gates called it right, perhaps. Does this sort of pause or incremental step mean the companies are just consolidating before another big leap? Or could it signal we're hitting a bit of a plateau with the current approach of just scaling up?
That's the billion-dollar question, isn't it? Is scaling alone enough anymore?
Right.
And this brings us to safety, accountability, human expertise, especially in sensitive areas like healthcare.
Yeah, where the stakes are incredibly high.
The state of Illinois just enacted new legislation.
Yeah.
It prohibits AI systems from delivering mental health or therapeutic diagnoses without supervision by a licensed professional.
A clear line in the sand. AI is a tool, not the therapist.
Exactly. AI can still be used for admin tasks, scheduling, things like that. But any service offering actual therapy, it must involve human clinicians or they face penalties up to $10,000.
This seems like a necessary safeguard, doesn't it? Ensures accountability.
It does. But even when AI is used as a tool, there are still risks, right? Like bias creeping in.
Oh, absolutely. That's a huge ongoing challenge. And it's striking how even systems built with good intentions can end up perpetuating or even amplifying existing societal biases. They need really careful design, training, and continuous monitoring for fairness. Otherwise, you get situations like, well, like that study from the London School of Economics.
What'd that find?
It looked at AI tools, things like Google's Gemma being used by local councils in England to summarize care needs. And it found they tended to understate women's physical and mental health needs compared to men's in those summaries.
Really? So the summaries were skewed.
Yeah. Which could potentially lead to unequal allocation of care resources, reinforcing existing biases right there in public service delivery.
Wow. That's a really stark reminder of how careful we need to be. These systems aren't neutral just because they're code.
Not at all. They reflect the data they're trained on, biases and all.
And that kind of inconsistency, that lack of robustness, maybe. It brings me to this concept from DeepMind CEO Demis Hassabis.
Hassabis. What's he saying?
He describes the current state of AI not as AGI, but as AJI, Artificial Jagged Intelligence.
Jagged Intelligence. Okay, what does that mean?
It means models like Gemini can be brilliant at one thing, like acing an Olympiad math problem, but then completely botch something seemingly simpler, like high school algebra. There are these sharp peaks of capability, but also deep dallies. Inconsistency.
Ah, the brilliant idiot phenomenon.
Exactly. He argues this inconsistency is the core problem. AGI isn't just like a half step on the way to AGI, artificial general intelligence. He calls it a chasm.
A chasm, so a fundamental gap.
Yeah. He thinks bridging it requires real breakthroughs in reasoning, planning, memory, not just throwing more GPUs or more data at the current methods.
So scaling isn't the answer, or at least not the whole answer. We need new ideas.
That's the implication. This jagged reality, this brilliant idiot problem, it really highlights that scaling current approaches might not be enough to get us to true AGI anytime soon. So what does that mean for our expectations? Maybe we need to adjust them.
It certainly suggests a recalibration is needed. The path might be longer and require different kinds of breakthroughs than we thought. And speaking of different approaches, that ties into another crucial aspect, control and privacy. how different companies are choosing to handle user data and memory.
Right, like Anthropic and Claude.
Exactly. Anthropic just rolled out a new memory feature for Claude, but it's very different from, say, OpenAI's approach.
How so?
It's a search and reference memory. Users can explicitly pull relevant information from past chats when they need it. It works across devices, keeps different projects siloed. But, and this is key, it never builds a persistent user profile automatically.
So Claude doesn't remember things unless you specifically ask it to search its past conversations.
Precisely. Unlike OpenAI's memory, which can be more always on, Claude won't remember context from days ago unless you tell it to go look for it.
That sounds like an intentional design choice.
Oh, it absolutely is. This opt-in recall, they position it as a feature, not a bug, especially for their enterprise customers and compliance teams.
Why is that important for them?
Well, it sidesteps a lot of the potential privacy backlash. It keeps audit trails cleaner because the recall is explicit. And it reduces the risk of the AI unintentionally building up behavioral profiles of users over time. They're essentially creating this kind of trust moat around privacy and control, something that OpenAI, with its more default on memory approach, maybe can't claim as easily.
A trust moat. That's interesting. So different philosophies on how AI should remember and use our past interactions.
Exactly. And it raises really important questions for all of us about what level of control versus convenience we want from these powerful tools.
Wow. Okay. What a dense, just really fascinating deep dive into a single day in AI.
Yeah.
August 12, 2025. From robots gaining common sense, understanding toast.
Right.
To legal fights over App Store rankings, AI losing at chess, and these deep questions about bias and memory. It's just incredibly dynamic, isn't it? Constantly surprising.
It really is. We've seen these amazing leaps in AI's ability to reason, to interact with the physical world. But at the same time, we're seeing just how critical it is to tackle the inherent biases, ensure there's human oversight, and figure out how to navigate these really complex, competitive, and regulatory waters.
Yeah. So as these AI capabilities just keep evolving so rapidly and the companies are competing so fiercely, how do you think this tension is going to play out, this push and pull between relentless innovation on one side and this growing need for ethical responsibility for safety on the other?
Yeah.
How will that shape our future interactions with these technologies?
That's the central question, I think.
And what will tomorrow's Chronicle reveal? How will we balance that progress with the need for precaution? Lots to think about.